restrain me. You can search me. I'll give it all up just to be with you. I'm so happy now you got me. I'll surrender all my love to you. Don't you see what you're doing to me? I'm in love and I can't break free. Now I'm begging with you, baby. Please don't leave me hanging.
Hello and welcome to another episode of, I guess this is episode 3 of the 2017 E3 press conference talkabouts. My name is, again, Conrad Thurbleton Kirby. Joining me quickly is self-confessed cynic.
Hello.
Yep, you're on hotel Wi-Fi, so we'll try and keep this quick before you need to leave or your connection cuts out.
Totally on hotel Wi-Fi. This is the worst.
It's the best. The best worst. The most Wi-Fi you heard was from Ballard. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, thanks.
All right, cool. And running it out is, again, Durin.
Hey, I'm here.
Yeah, so we're going to blitz through the Bethesda conference, which actually, like, they had a very short conference as well. There's a lot of good stuff to talk about, but yeah, we'll go through that, briefly talk about Devolvers, I guess. I don't know if we want to.
I don't want to talk about Devolver at all.
Nothing positive happened at Devolver. You can watch it if you want on your own time, but yeah, it was nothing good. And then also... Ubisoft. So, Bethesda.
Wait. We omitted something very specific and important from our previous recording. We didn't score Microsoft. I want scores. I personally would give them an 8 out of 10. I think Microsoft did well.
I feel like the scores wouldn't be genuine at this point because we've seen other... I don't know.
8 out of 10.
Sure, 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10 for Microsoft. I don't understand the point of scores, but I don't understand the point of anything.
Speaking of good 7 or 6 out of 10, Bethesda.
Yeah, no, like they were good. Ballard, did you want to give them a score real quick for Microsoft?
Microsoft score. I'd say 7. They did good. They showed lots of games, but they still didn't persuade me why the hell Scorpio needs to exist.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah,
that was too expensive.
I'm with Ballard. Like, I would say like 6 because they did have a lot of games. But as somebody who does not own an Xbox and has a high-end PC, they did not get me excited for Xbox. They got me excited to be a PC gamer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's moving into being a PC gamer. You have that whole Vive. HTC Vive, you know, VR headset. There, I think that's the only VR headset available for PC. At least that's what Bethesda was saying when they talked about VR Doom and VR Fallout.
I believe you mean Doom VFR.
Yes, I'm sorry, Doom VFR.
Virtual fucking reality.
I don't want to spend too much time on this just because they actually talked about some good stuff in Bethesda's show, but basically they're making some VR stuff after suing the shit out of Oculus. And I don't.
And saying that they've been like on the VR forefront for years, and mm-hmm. it's all felt real weird. But they made Doom like look like it kind of works in VR.
Yeah,
like it kind of it works about as well as you could make Doom work in VR.
They've made the concession of hey, you have to teleport. It's not at least it's not like a shooting gallery, like a strict like instant fixed points of shooting. I think with the executions, teleporting works fine because that's kind of what you were doing anyway. Like you're kind of teleporting into a position to do the canned animations, which is
right.
Fine. I'm more interested to see how Fallout's going to work because that has actual movement.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was going to say real quickly about Doom is the reason I say that like this works about as well as Doom could is they made that concession instead of what we all thought they were going to do, which is slow Doom down to make it work for VR.
Yeah,
Fallout was worrying because what they showed was normal walking and like walking while looking around with clearly an analog stick and like that whole thing just looks like nausea.
It looked nauseating as fuck, but I will say it finally looks like they fixed the UI for building settlements. So if you're way into that, VR Fallout is the place to be because it looked fucking brilliant compared to the base game.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they gave it that much time in the conference for all VR stuff.
Yeah, like honestly, even if I owned a VR headset, and of course I do own Fallout 4 and I didn't finish it, like that, I still would not play it that way. Like that did not look enticing at all. Even if
I just realized how funny my statement was because their conference was 30 minutes long and I still thought they spent too much time in VR.
It's yeah. There are other VR games that, you know, we'll probably hear more about before they get released in 2018, but that's other press conferences. We'll get to that. Just to say, it's nice to know that they're still setting some time aside in their show for companies are still setting time for VR in their shows. So, but yeah, moving on, we got a lot to get through. I don't think anybody here cares about more Morrowind for Elder Scrolls Online. Morrowind.
I've heard that game's gotten really good. I played it when it was a subscription thing, and that was not the way to play that game. But I could see it being a really good free to play game. So, yeah. Like adding Morrowind to it, like sure, like that's guess what? That's the only Elder Scrolls you're gonna get for a long time. So,
hey, if you like free to play games, what about a Skyrim online collectible card game?
Hey, that game's all right. Don't hate.
I'm so happy there's someone. I mean,
Hearthstone. Hearthstone makes a lot of money. But it's just
it's equally as good as Hearthstone. Like, to be honest, Hearthstone's just more popular because hey, it's.
I don't know. I've heard the card pack opening isn't nearly as good as Hearthstone's.
Yeah, true. Maybe they need to work on their loot box openings.
And then yeah, they just moving on from that. The next thing they just fired out was they are doing Dishonored DLC, much akin to the Dishonored 1 DLC of Michael Madsen, and it sounds like Rosario Dawson are voicing two characters for another. Like you get to play as pseudo bad guys.
Might be wrong about this, but I think it's actually a standalone. It's DLC. Let's be clear, it's DLC, but it is a standalone game. It's being sold as a standalone game. But it seems good. Like I have no interest in it because like Dowd and that chick were just not interesting characters to me. And killing the outsider or whatever seems like a kind of obvious way to do that in a way that I can't really get behind. But yeah, if it turns out good, I might play it. It seems like it could be good.
Yeah, who knows how it's going to play out. Like, maybe it's just going to be thinking like, oh, you can't, like, you don't actually kill him, but it's the heist to try and kill him. Who knows? All I got from it, my biggest takeaway was, man, I should really finish Dishonored 2.
Man. Dishonored 2 was alright.
My takeaway from it was like, oh, right, I care a lot less about the Dishonored games than I thought I would when they first announced that first one.
Of Dishonored 2 had some of the best level building or level structure and design I've ever seen.
I can agree to that. But talking about level design, I really wish Squiddle's here to talk about because he actually does go to QuakeCon and all that, but they did announce a Quake competitive. Their little bit into esports was the original esport of Quake Champions, and they're doing some competition thing with $1 million prize. That seems cool, but
so actually, like that wasn't the most interesting thing. Like that was like whatever. Like they're already trying to build that thing as an esport when it hasn't been released yet. No, the interesting thing was fucking Wolfenstein guy in Quake.
Oh yeah, BJ Blazkowicz.
Yeah, that's crazy. I wonder how long it is before Doom guy joins the fray. This becomes like the Smash Brothers of Bethesda game.
I'm okay with it being a Smash Brothers of Bethesda. I mean, like, it's just, it's dumb video games. Sure. Keep making it more dumb and great.
Yeah.
Oh, so I need to go, like, nowish, but I want to say just before I do, A, what's the space? You guys will get there in a bit.
We'll get there.
Wolfenstein's probably my game of show. Mm-hmm. At the moment, it looks amazing. The shooting looks fucking incredible. And Ubisoft said, all right, I'll give them a 7 as well. Wolfenstein's my game.
Oh, okay.
What do you give Bethesda out of 10?
Bethesda gets a 7, and Ubisoft gets a 7.5.
Okay.
All right. PC guys.
We'll see.
Like Wolfenstein. I would have given it lower otherwise.
All right. Bye. We'll hear more from Cynic in post-Sony. So, yeah. See ya.
Thanks.
All right, and then yeah, so we'll touch on Wolfenstein in a second, but quickly, I guess Durin, I don't, Bullard, maybe you as well. I know I was not super into the Evil Within, but are either of you guys interested in Evil Within 2?
I am more so than I thought I would be. I bought the first one, but I haven't actually really played it. But the Evil Within 2, I think I was saying this when we were watching it, but it really kind of felt like them basically saying, like, okay, Konami's not going to make a Silent Hill game, so we're going to make one.
It's,
like it felt like it had those kind of vibes to it.
Yes.
I'm totally okay with.
It seemed a little bit interesting, but I'm worried they're just going to lean too heavy into, like, the gore fear of it, and it's just like, oh, it's all gross looking, which doesn't, it's not a good hook for me for horror
games. See, I feel like the first game kind of did some of that. This one didn't feel like that. This one didn't seem to lean, based on, you know, what we saw, seem to lean nearly as much on the gore stuff so much as it did on just kind of, like, creepy,
unsettling.
You out.
Yeah, unsettling.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then Ballard, anything from you on that, or?
The first one did nothing for me. Like, it didn't seem to be critically received very well either. The second one, like, the trailers they showed for it looked more interesting, but again, zombies don't do a lot for me.
Yeah, the main thing is just, like, how is that gameplay going to be? Is it going to be a couple, like, I heard there were some good moments of the original Evil Within, but there were also a lot of not great fun gameplay moments. So, we'll just, yeah, really, really grindy sections, I guess. But yeah, moving on to probably everyone's game of the show for Bethesda, they revealed a new Wolfenstein.
They did.
They announced a new Wolfenstein. I don't know.
And it looked like Wolfenstein.
Last
year.
True. But,
it looked good.
It looked good.
It's just like with Dishonored. My takeaway from it was I should probably finish Wolfenstein 1.
I
felt like that as well. But I will say that did we need another Wolfenstein already?
It's been a couple years. I mean, like, if you ignore
Old Blood came out last year.
Yeah, but how many people played Old Blood? Wait, was it 2016?
I think so. Wasn't it?
It doesn't sound right.
Maybe it was late 15. It feels like it was last year.
2015.
Okay. Yeah, May of 2015. So 2 years ago, almost to the day.
I don't know. I guess for me personally, like, I wasn't overly impressed by what I saw of it. Like it did make me feel like, okay, I need to go back and play that first one, but it just wasn't overly impressive. And
The story stuff looks potentially interesting. I like this alternate history, you know, vibe that they're kind of doing with it. I have no attachment to the franchise, and people really like that first one. Maybe I should give it more of a chance.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna try and play through it this year, the original. And then, like, from what I've heard, and hopefully what I'll see when I play it, is like the gameplay is good enough, and the story pacing, and all that, and the internal monologue. I'm curious if they're going to be able to hit those same marks with a new one. But yeah, I'm curious to see more of this game, unlike other Bethesda stuff. Like, I'm not really interested in Quake competitive. But yeah, that is the Bethesda show. They just blitzed through a lot of it. They didn't announce anything else new, I don't think. Yeah.
We didn't talk about Creation Club.
They're like foray back into paid DLC.
Yeah, so they're getting back into paid mods, but they're going to be collaborating this time with. They're kind of making it into a stricter process so that.
Yeah, I was going to say they called it collaborating, but really it was that they are.
Curated experience of it.
Well, I think I've read some more into this, and apparently it's like quite structured in that you pitch your mod to Bethesda. They, you know, validate whether this is something that they would want. Appearing, because this is stuff that's should be compatible. They're going to help you basically make it compatible with both the consoles and the PC version of the games. Because this is for Fallout and for Skyrim. And then they kind of lay out a sort of alpha, beta, then release plan where you basically ship stages to a mod, they give you deadlines to reach it by, and then they help you, you know, with any of the technical aspects, potentially, if that would be beneficial.
That seems like a lot of steps for a thing you're going to make next to no money on.
Yeah, it's A, that, and B, I'd be concerned how much work that is for them. Like, curating all this stuff is going to be
right
complicated.
I mean, that's why they're going to take their 60% cut.
Holy shit, I probably have another half hour.
Great.
Three.
So I guess we're finishing up Bethesda. Any like any overall comments on Bethesda, or do you want to also talk about the Creators Club for the paid mods? I mean, it's also the thing, like, none of us played Fallout or Skyrim that much to get in the mod scene, right?
I made a Skyrim mod.
I finished Skyrim. I had no interest in modding it, really.
Okay, yeah.
Now that I've seen it, like, obviously I should have modded myself to look like Link and run around, but, you know, if I can...
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you do that? Jeez. So, yeah, just jumping, like, so we're not going to talk about Devolver Digital. I do want to quickly state on the PC Gaming Show, yay, cool, an XCOM 2 expansion. Like, I think they call it a DLC, but this seems more like their one-per-game expansion. I'm excited for it. I might actually boot up XCOM 2 again when this comes out, but that's
what was the hook?
It's not underwater stuff, which is what they hinted at, but it's more like it's called the Wrath of the Chosen, I think, or something. And it's basically it's smart aliens, smart human-like aliens who have like there's it's not hero units, I don't think, but more like hero villains, where you will see these same villains in levels, and they get stronger as like the campaign continues. I don't know. It's more time to use cheese strats, like plant a bunch of mines and then blow everybody up with grenades.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, if we're just going to transition right into Ubisoft, Durin might have an opposing idea about what makes a good turn-based strategy tactics game.
Maybe now we've seen what it really takes.
Needs more Mario.
Needs more Mario, needs more guns, needs more rabbits. I will say...
Let's not be crazy.
From the show, from the gameplay, they it looks like they are doing some creative stuff just with movement in that whole genre of tactics.
Yeah, they got like weird like team combo moves. You can like bounce off your teammates to move further. I guess what we're talking about is the Mario plus Rabbids. I forget the subtitle to it.
I don't actually know the actual name, yeah.
It's that Ubisoft Mario Rabbids game. Yep. Turns out it's totally an XCOM game. It's a tactical strategy game. There's this weird open world nature to it where you're like walking around, and I'm not really sure what you do there because they didn't really explain that. But
Mario plus Rabbids in battle.
What's that?
Kingdom Battle.
Kingdom Battle, okay. It's I guess the premise is like rabbits have been transported to Mushroom Kingdom, and it's kind of just fucked things up, so they're trying to fix it. That's about as far into the story as they went. Like the combat, like they're doing really interesting things with the tactical combat stuff. I still don't think Mario needs a gun, but it's more interesting than I expected it to be.
Will you, like, given the number of Switch titles coming out this year, like, also, did they say this year or spring 2018?
It's coming out fucking, like, August.
Yeah. Are you going
like,
to get it?
Super soon. I don't...
Also, we won't know until tomorrow, but were there more Switch announcements on Ubisoft stage than there will be for Nintendo for games coming out?
There were two, so if
there were
two games we don't know about, yes.
Wait, what was the other one? It was Mario and...
The other one was that weird space game with the spaceships attached to the controller.
Oh, fucking... All right.
Starlink.
I mean, to be fair, that one's coming out to other consoles as well, but still.
Yep.
Ubisoft is making more games for the Switch than Nintendo. I guess isn't that surprising, because they've done that in the past, too. For previous Nintendo consoles. I don't know if anyone has any other strong... like feelings for Mario. Like, to answer your question, Thurb, probably, because it's August, and what the fuck else am I going to get?
Also,
August?
Just like, I'm always curious about how, like, strategy. Granted, we've gone over this, that this is more tactics than strategy, but like, any type of game that is, like, those are typically on PC. Rare, right. Is there a good tactics or strategy game that comes out on console? And so I'm always curious how well it's going to do. So yeah, if you play it, I'd love to know. Like, it looks like they're trying to do a lot of crazy stuff with both the like actual movement and fighting, but also it just looks like they're just going to have fun with the overall world. Like, it looks definitely a little bit childish, but yeah, it looks like it's just going to be a good time. Hopefully it's not too long. Hopefully it's not like a 30 to 40 hour game.
Yeah.
The only thing funnier to me than this existing is that Dorit is buying it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be saying I am buying it. I'm saying, what else do I have to buy in August?
That's
okay, all right. You're catching that. All right, sweet.
Well, you could maybe buy Assassin's Creed.
Not in August.
That's true.
Did they give a date? Is it November?
I don't know if they gave a date.
No. I think it's October.
Okay.
All right. Then that's... So it basically comes to Assassin's Creed or Evil Within.
Great.
I don't know which one I would buy, actually.
But yeah, we saw...
I'm definitely going to buy Assassin's Creed. Well, that's because scary games are scary.
Oh, the rock climbing is cool.
The rock climbing is cool. We saw like a little bit more just cutscenes and all that, but we don't know a lot more else. We saw a little bit more of just Egypt.
Real quickly, is anyone else watching the stream right now?
Yeah.
Okay. The rock climbing looks really bad. Because there are not... It's not just that there are not actual handholds for him to grab. It's that his hand just kind of disappears into the rock in some instances.
Oh, okay.
This looks bad.
They can probably fix that part.
It's more realistic than Zelda's climbing, and people love that shit, so...
I mean, there's also no grip meter, so you can just climb forever. So
that also sounds like an improvement. I don't know what you're saying.
No. I'm fine with the grip meter being there. It's if rain is the problem, not the grip meter.
I don't know, man. As a person who just got his first dungeon, I fuck that game because you can't climb everything. I heard the whole point was you can climb everything, and you can't climb all of that fucking dungeon.
You can climb everything except for certain walls.
Except they put for very dungeons. Important things you'd want to climb.
Look, they still need to design dungeons. Like,
fuck that game.
They can't let you climb everywhere.
Hashtag video.
That's a pretty good game. I like the dungeon
thing. Yeah, no, Assassin's Creed looks interesting. Like, they're running like a gameplay stream after Ubisoft's press conference, and the things I'm seeing here look a lot more interesting than anything I've seen so far. They did show the map, by the way. It's fucking massive. Like,
great.
Awesome. Sweet.
I'm glad.
Whoever was playing died at some point, and the loading screen is the Animus stuff, and when you load back in, it loads the world like it did before with the Animus stuff, so
there's has to be some kind of magical Animus.
He's also just totally climbed a tower, and is now doing the panning around in circles.
So oh yeah, he's about to leap of faith. Like, this is definitely an Assassin's Creed game.
So, yeah, as the one person here who actually climbs a bunch, I don't really care anymore about climbing in video games. Oh, wow, he just fell onto, like, a thin pot of leaves on some giant... okay, whatever, video games. What I am curious about, though, is do we think there's going to be some return to, like, Assassin's Creed ship combat in this game? We'll touch on the other stuff later. Yes. But, like,
they showed ships during
They showed
the
ships.
There are big ships, and there are also little, like... small one-man sailing boats as well, but like there's probably going to be sailing.
They don't seem massive. Like, you're not going to be broadsiding people with cannons. You know,
yeah, because I don't think can.
Or will you be?
I don't
magical
think
magical cannons.
Okay, all right. That's all we got from Assassin's Creed. We'll probably hear more about it from when people get a chance.
It's coming
play.
October 27th.
Great. So something else I want to talk about with the Ubisoft one is that. We saw a lot more from, like, oh, this is coming from Ubisoft Singapore, this is from Ubisoft Toronto, which is probably a result of them taking a year off on Assassin's Creed. Like, oh, we have all these other studios, we need to get them to do stuff. But I thought that was a neat take. Do we want to talk about the crew, too? I don't want to talk about the crew.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, we should talk about the crew, too. Interesting. Like, it's not necessarily what I wanted out of another crew game, or at least they didn't talk about things I wanted them to talk about. But I'm mildly interested in the fact that they are expanding now to, like, boats and planes and shit.
Yeah, so that's the cool thing, is it seems to still have the open world stuff, but you're trying to become the king of all motorsports ever, seemingly.
Yeah. I for one, as somebody who lives in America, am glad that it seems like they're keeping it in America, because that makes me hope that they'll get America right this time.
Yep. I mean, like, it's
closer to right.
The stuff they showed was not the stuff that worried me about the crew. Like, right. the driving or flying, piloting, whatever, looks cool. What are the stuff you can do in the game? Like, is it going to be there are a couple other racing games have done open world stuff really well. What is the America going to look like?
Yeah. Yeah. Like show me your map, guys. I need to see your new interpretation of what the United States looks like. Cause that last one, that was a C-minus effort.
And they don't have to get an A+. Like if this game is good and big and interesting to go in various places, like I might get this game just to drive around with people for a couple hours. Like, also, if it's not 60
in all honesty, if as long as their map is the shape of the United States, obviously it's not going to be the size, it's not going to be the scale. They're going to be cutting out a lot of stuff. It's going to be like the highlights of the United States. But as long as they just get the goddamn shape of it right, then I'll generally be happy with it. And as long as like the world is a little bigger than it was last time, like, and it does definitely need to be a bit bigger.
What would be great is if it was like the correct shape, but then just in certain parts of the United States, you didn't realize it, but your character, like your vehicle, just went faster. So like when you're in the open desert, you like the speedometer says you're going 50, but you're actually going like 200 miles an hour, so you can cross into like they've just scaled the world to look differently, so that way it is still just that weird shape, but you don't realize it. But yeah, that's anybody else interested in Crew 2 or the 2?
Oh,
no. Okay, what about more South Park news? Like they announced October 17th for the Fractured Butthole.
I don't believe it.
Yeah,
that game continues the whole. I don't know. I like it.
I think I might be out for that game.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm kind of not. I don't know.
Like I was really excited when they first announced it, but the longer, like the more time has passed, the more I've realized that like I don't actually want another one of those games. That first one was really good, but like this isn't those guys making this, and also like the subject matter isn't nearly as interesting because they've already. So okay, I'm coming from this from a perspective of like I watched a lot of like early South Park, but I have not kept up with South Park. So that first game hit a lot of the highlights that I was aware of in the South Park early seasons. I don't remember any of this superhero stuff, so that had to have happened later on after I was long checked out of that show. So I don't imagine there's going to be a whole lot in that game for me.
I've been dropping in and out because I'm on hotel Wi-Fi, but did they show anything different in this trailer, or was it just more superhero stuff?
Just more superhero stuff.
More superhero stuff. I mean, kind of X-Men-y now as well.
That translates to me as, I am still on board. Let's do this shit. I want to totally fucking see that stupid superhero bullshit as to why I was interested in the first place. I love it. It looks great. I don't know.
What about stupid, spooky VR game directed by Elijah Wood?
I'm sorry, was it directed by him? Are you fucking kidding me?
Elijah Wood is the creative director for Transference Game. Or at least that's what the trailer seemed to be going on as. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, you're right. It did say that. Yep.
Okay. I don't know. They didn't actually show much of the game, did they?
No, I mean, like, they
we don't know. Like, it could all be that FMV stuff. They could have shown gameplay, and we don't know.
Like, VR games are weird anyway, so it could. Maybe this is all just FMV. VR, FMVR. Oh, geez.
Oh my God.
That'd be a cool thing. But yeah, it's spring 2018, so it is around the corner, I guess. But yeah, we'll see what the crap this is. I don't know. As of all the VR titles announced so far this week, that's probably the one I'm the most interested in. Even though I probably won't be buying a VR headset anytime soon. I don't know. I might.
I don't know. It was weird. I'll give him that.
Yes. But yeah, the next up is... So, there's probably not going to be a lot of, like, pirate shooting, like, Assassin's Creed ship-to-ship combat in Assassin's Creed Origins. What if they just made an entirely separate game that's not Not Black Flag. What was the other? Skull and Bones. Okay, guys.
Skull and okay.
So, Assassin's Creed Piratech.
You mentioned this game. Name in my head was Boats.
Boats. Anybody want to talk about? Instead of Black Flag, what if it's Vanta Black Flag? What if it's even more Black Flag?
My favorite thing about this pretty black background, to be fair.
What was your favorite thing about this, Cynic?
The comments while the thing was going, because everyone was going to guess before. He started off saying it was part of an established and well-loved universe or whatever, and then I can't see the connection unless it is, in fact, Assassin's Creed.
I think they were hoping to get the Pirates of the Caribbean license and just failed.
I can see that. Durin, do you have any comments or thoughts on?
I like I said when we were watching it, it just feels like this is what everybody wanted Assassin's Creed multiplayer to be, and they're instead going to break it out to its own full price game, and you can guarantee they're going to charge you $60 for this thing.
Yeah, like if they treat this like Siege, Rainbow Six Siege. That same sort of like attention, maybe not $60. I'll be into it, but like
it will be $60. Like they charge $60 for Siege, they charge $60 for For Honor. They're going to charge $60 for this fucking game.
Yeah, but if I just happen to get a copy of it when I buy a new video card or something, like then maybe I'll look into it. But like,
if I don't have to pay anything for this thing and I just get it somehow, I would totally be down to play that. Like it looked interesting. But there is no fucking way that there is enough there for a full-priced game.
I can't even see what the single player would be. Like, if there was a single player, which I doubt.
There can't be any single player. I don't know. They didn't announce a release date for this, did they?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so. Probably like spring 2018, maybe. But yeah, we'll
they're doing like see. Beta sign-ups on the website.
Yeah, it's all broken. Fall 2018.
Okay, yeah, sure. No, I can see that.
Coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
Like they certainly don't want to compete with Assassin's Creed, I guess. But yeah, just next thing on the list, more South Park Phone Destroyer. I mean, this seems okay. This seems like a good mobile game.
You just skipped Just Dance entirely. It was a dancing panda.
Yes, I did just skip Just Dance entirely. There was a
dancing
panda.
Someone dabbed on stage. First dab of E3 2017.
I'm with you in skipping it.
South Park Phone Destroyer. a mobile card game? Yeah, we can skip it.
Yeah, we probably skip it.
As far as phone games go, this doesn't look like complete shit. This looks okay. But yeah, I will not be getting it.
Let's talk about spaceships on your fucking controller.
Let's talk about Toys to Life. 2018, Ubisoft Toronto is working on a game called Starlink Battle for Atlas that looks good, but also insane. Bad.
Also, interestingly, fall 2018.
Oh wow! Okay. When the trailer started, the words that came out of my face were, "Oh no, I'm worried because this looks good. I'm waiting for the bait and switch, and then we got it.
We got a bait and switch.
Then you saw a Starship on a Switch controller."
What the fuck?
Like, this is a podcast, so I can't quite describe to you how stupid this is. Just Google this shit and look at the...
Oh, I can't. I'll take this directly from the site. Build your own modular starship model and create your unique playstyle to defeat the enemy.
That doesn't describe how it plugs into the controller and is, like, just in your face the whole time. It's bigger than the controller.
Like, the weird part about it is, like, it makes sense on the Switch because you have the NFC stuff for the Amiibo, but, like, on the PS4, how is this...
And Xbox One.
And Xbox One. Like, how is this reading on the controllers at all?
So that's the also part where they say...
I'm worried that, like, it's going to require the camera.
Did they say that you could get this stuff digitally as well?
That's true. They did. Yeah, you can get it. Okay. But they showed them, like, they showed the physical thing, like, attached to a PlayStation controller.
They did.
That's a good point. Maybe next year he has a Wi-Fi chip in there?
So if you think it's going to require the bottom of the controller near where both controllers have a micro import and data for like headset stuff. I doubt that you can transfer anything over that, but that's what it looks
maybe.
Like.
Well, I think Starlink's going to be okay in terms of just like competition releases. It doesn't look like there's a lot of steep competition for new Switch titles.
So I went to click on the trailer on their official website, and it actually kicked back. It's a YouTube video. Kicked back an error saying the uploader has not made this video available in your country.
Nice. It reminded me of World of Final Fantasy, with like the little thing on top of like a slightly bigger thing on top of a slightly bigger thing.
The game itself looks kind of cool. Like the planets look nice, and the space looks nice. I mean, maybe the shooting will be all right too. Just like cool creatures and shooting giant. I don't know.
It looks good. I don't know. But yeah, it. Looks good. I don't know if it plays good though. Like, I don't know what the game is. So yeah, it looks good. It also looks very like low res, but I mean, like that's also kind of what we expect from Nintendo games these days. Like the art style looks good, but looks also low poly. But yeah, I'm tentatively interested to see about what more this is, but I'm ready to also cut the shoot and run if this is just another like, Toys to Life. What the hell is this game? Is there Amiibo support?
So actually, they have a different, the website has already been updated. Although, I think the issue was I grabbed a link from Ballard, who is not in the United States. So I think it was actually.
Yeah, you got the Ubisoft UK link. It's a different channel.
So on the US one, it has an extra line on there that one didn't have. Saying that Starlink Battle for Atlas is a new action-adventure game where you assemble a custom starship model mounted to your game controller to launch into an interplanetary adventure. Lead a group of heroic interstellar pilots who use modular starships to mix and match their unique gear and skills on the fly. Travel the stars to unite the galaxy against villainous destructive forces.
Cool.
I can't believe this game exists.
Yeah, neither.
It's so this weird.
It's very weird. But something else that I guess we're a little surprised that still exists, but I mean, whatever, sure. My defense is just the Winter Olympics are coming up, but there's more Steep. Steep is still a thing. People are still playing it, apparently. None of us, but...
I burst out laughing when I saw it, because I went away from the computer and came back and saw it, and I just started laughing.
Yeah, I mean, the expansion is literally called Steep Road to the Olympics. So.
Great. But yeah, getting into... Actual, like, they did not spend a lot of time, or they did not spend as much time on this game as I would have liked. Far Cry 5. We got a little bit more footage of that. Some in-game footage, as well as some recorded in-game footage, I guess. I don't know. Durin, are you interested in Far Cry 5 as the other American?
It's potentially interesting. I mean, I'm not taking that thing seriously in any way whatsoever, so because of that, it seems kind of interesting. Like, I don't know. It's... Weirdly, Montana seems like kind of a unique setting.
Yeah. Like, I'm okay. I'm okay with the setting. The story is, like, okay, but, like, backing up a little bit, but then also it does seem very stupid with the whole... Friend for hire, fangs for hire for your little dog NPC buddy, and just, yeah. They definitely tried to lean a little bit more into the, hey, this is still a dumb Far Cry 5 game, which is good.
I feel like that was just for the trailer, though. I don't think that translates to in the game. Like, I feel like the in-game is still really self-serious, but they've tried to make the trailer look fun. But that said, like, I need to compare this to Wolfenstein, because I didn't play any of the previous Wolfenstein games, and I didn't play any of the Far Cry games. But unlike Wolfenstein, this didn't sell me on the game. Like, Wolfenstein sold me on the game, irrespective of having never played a previous one. This looked so interesting, and it sold you on the characters and all that kind of stuff, but this just nothing except for the dog. The dog was cool, everything else was like that.
it's also like Wolfenstein is the thing of just like there's story and then there's shooting people. This one, it is like they did have to kind of go through all the different stuff that you could still do in the game for people who, for some reason, haven't seen a Far Cry 5 game before. But like, oh, you can call on your friends. You can have the AI like command and shoot stuff, which, yeah, Ballard, you're 100% right. Apart from like Freedom Fighters way back in the day, I've not had a good experience controlling AI in a third person shooting or an action shooting game.
I mean, I guess that's just the stand-in for when you're not playing co-op. Maybe they're going to be really pushing co-op at this time.
Yeah, that'd be cool if the other players are the other characters. I'd play as the dog.
Yeah, I mean, they've already confirmed like it's going to be four players co-op through the entire campaign.
Speaking of which, I have to go for reals this time. So.
Okay. I got my picture like in my head. What if you could play with Snoop Dogg and he was the dog? Okay, no, I'm sorry. We need to leave. We need to move on. Cynic, any last things on Beyond Good and Evil 2? No, he's gone. He's out. Durin, Brad, Ballard, Beyond. They showed kind of in game footage.
No. They showed some really good CG video.
Well, no, but then after that, they showed, like, there was a computer monitor that had...
There was a computer monitor in the background behind
images that looked similar.
A dude in a suit flying around a giant...
Yeah, while they were explaining that they basically have, like, all they have right now is a giant sandbox that they...
So, yeah,
multiplayer sandbox.
They call this a seamless online playground, which instantly those buzzwords tell me this might be an MMO.
I don't think it'll be a strict MMO. I'm thinking more like Destiny instance.
Yeah. Okay, I can see that. That seems weird, but okay. Yeah, like what are they making?
Like I don't know what this is, and also like the fact that it's been like this many years since we had that original teaser. And this is still all they show. No date, no gameplay. No, like, this is what this thing is, like, nothing else. Like, they just should have fucking kept their mouth shut until they had something.
But also, like, they have investors, they have to show, like, people, like, are interested in this still.
Investors don't want to see this game. Like, they don't want to see the amount of years they've been working on this, and this is all they have to show. Like, this is not for the investors. Like if they were worried about the investors, they would not be showing this.
The developers seemed pretty hyped to show this off. Like,
they were totally excited. Like they've been wanting to make this game for years, especially Michelle. But
you know, like, I have no attachment to this franchise. This got my attention, and I will probably follow this to find out if it's any good now going forwards. So I guess it did what it was trying to do, even if they didn't have anything. Concrete to show yet, and this game probably isn't coming out for another 2-3 years.
Oh yeah, like yeah, at best.
Yeah. So I.
It was good CG.
Yes, it was very good CG. It makes me very interested in a Beyond Good and Evil movie.
Yeah, me too. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like this would be like, a good animated film.
Yeah. But that is kind of the. Ubisoft press conference, like any big highlights for you guys? Any, I guess, their game of shows, either Far Cry or like Assassin's Creed? What do you guys think? Okay, Starlink game of the show. All right, cool. Great.
It's kind of ironic. All right, it'll be Assassin's Creed if I just take it seriously.
It does.
So I thought it would also be Assassin's Creed, and then I watched the, I kind of had the stream running while we were talking at the beginning of this recording. Of their like 30-minute segment of Assassin's Creed gameplay, and I'm kind of worried about that game, guys.
I thought it looked fine.
I saw a lot. I know it's an open world game, and I know there's going to be jank, but for an like on stage demo, I saw a lot of jank in there.
But did you see that cat?
I did see the cat.
There was an Egyptian cat.
It was a pretty cool cat, and it ran between your legs.
I'm not a big fan of hairless cats, so it's kind of a negative for me.
All right. Well,
yeah, I hope Assassin's Creed is good, but that has me worried now seeing actual gameplay of it.
Eh. I mean, like we've seen one gameplay from like it. Yeah, I'm makes me want to see more gameplay of it.
Yeah.
From people who are not like being directed where to go.
Yeah, I think. Talking more broadly about Ubisoft's conference, I think generally they had quite a few things that I could say the same thing about. Like, I want to see more of. I want to see more of Assassin's Creed. Obviously, I want to see more of Starlink to figure out whether the hell that's actually a good video game. I want to see more of Beyond Good and Evil, but obviously we probably won't see that a lot. And even Far Cry. Like, I haven't played a Far Cry that I've enjoyed massively so far. But this graphically, this one looks fantastic. The setting seems different enough to make it interesting. And it'd be interesting to see how like the co-op is in that. I'd like to see some co-op gameplay.
You know, I think that you make a good point. That might be one of the things that makes me more interested than other ones. Is like Montana is as the setting is big and vast and open. But like the other, like my issues with some of the other Far Cry's that I've played has been like, oh, you're on an island, so you need to like sneak around to this back part of the island to find stuff, and a lot more like verticality, which Montana doesn't really have. I mean, there's probably gonna be like buildings and whatnot, but
yeah I might mountains. Be many mountains. You probably have some.
There's gonna be some mountains, right? Like, yeah, well, I'll be interested to see what the game looks like. But yeah, that is and has been our Bethesda, Devolver Digital, PC Gamer, and Ubisoft analysis for the press conferences. Stay
about
tuned.
PC Gamer at all?
I mean, I talked about XCOM. They announced XCOM. They did have a little bit more announcement for PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Apparently, they're adding vaulting.
They teased that a while back.
Mm-hmm.
They had a trailer of people climbing over fences.
I know. This is so exciting. Climbing over fences. So we're going to climb...
I'm fine with that, because fences in that game suck.
Yeah. Well, we're going to climb out of this recording studio of that we're in, I guess. I don't know. This analogy is going nowhere. But yeah, stay tuned to the feed for more stuff. We're going to be talking about the Sony conference and then the Nintendo one the next day afterwards. Thanks for listening, everybody.